You are listening to the Alouettes Flight Deck, a proud member of the Canadian Football Podcast Network.
All right, folks, we've been cleared for takeoff.
Welcome to Alouettes Flight Deck, podcast dedicated to Montreal Alouettes football. I am Tim Capper. You can find me on Twitter at Repact. That's R-E-P-P-A-C-T.
And I'm Cliffy D. You can also find me on Twitter, but at Cliffy D. And this episode of the Alouettes Flight Deck is presented by our good friends over at SportBuff, where right now, if you go use the promo code FlightDeck-10, you could save 10% off of your order. Make sure you check out www.sportbuffshop.com.
Well, different week than last week, eh?
Well, yeah, that's kind of how it works. Every week is a different week.
Well, you smart ass, but you know what I'm saying. You know, we had just coming off the high of attending camp and stuff like that, and you know, I was kind of a little jealous seeing some of the stuff that they did this week, but you know, still overall, I was. It was, you know, got back to the grind, yada, yada, yada. You know how it goes, as you said.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And, yeah, but at least now we've got actual football games to talk about now, not just camp sessions, which is still fun, and intra-squad games are always good to talk about, too. But now we're into the meat of the training camp itself, talking about preseason games. And that's a good feeling, too, believe it or not.
Yes. How are you in actually having to use your noggin and imagine what actually was happening while we listened to the game on the radio?
Yeah, I mean, it was disappointing because I think we just, you know, misunderstood what we had seen online, because we talked about it last week that the game was going to be broadcast on RDS, and lo and behold, it was not. So if you wanted to know what was going on for that preseason game last week versus Hamilton Tiger Cats, you had to tune into the radio, and either radio, like an actual radio, or going online and listening at TSN 690's website to listen to the broadcast. And yeah, we were doing it old school. At least I was. You know, I listened to the entire game on the radio, not on an actual radio, but you know. So yeah, it was kind of interesting because yeah, it's one thing to watch a game, like actually physically watch the game,
yeah,
whether it's on TV or live, but to actually have to sit and listen and let the images play in your head, it's a good exercise. I'm not going to lie. I'm very thankful. And I think I even more so was able to finally truly appreciate the work that Sean Campbell and Marc-Olivier Bruyette do as the analyst and play-by-play commentary. I think they do a bang up job. Did an excellent job as far as educating people on like the new players that are trying to make this team, as well as talk about the veterans, and you know, it was just a good flow throughout the entire 3 hour broadcast. I think they did a fantastic job, so I got to take my hat off to them. You know, it was interesting. I mean, let's face it though. I mean, it still bugs the hell out of me that you can't watch even just like a stream when you've been able to do that in past with certain other teams. I just don't understand why in 2022 you don't have access to all of the preseason games. If you don't want to broadcast on any of the TSN channels or on RDS, then fine. I get it. But would it really have been so difficult to pay a cameraman to be there at the game, just a single shot even, just going back and panning back and forth and just having it stream live from TSN.ca? Would that really have been so damn hard? To me, like, if you're trying to generate interest into the CFL and trying to get people excited about this thing, and what's the one thing that they talked about that the CFL needs to do? Market the game. Market its players. Well, how the hell can you do that when you don't broadcast the game and broadcast said players? That's what bothers me more than anything else. Like, yes, they do show 4 preseason games, you know, for all the teams. Like, you get 4 preseason games, which is better than nothing, I suppose. But if you're trying to get people excited about these new players and finding these potential superstars and what have you, then this is the way to do it. And you know what? If you don't want to watch it, then don't watch it. But for the people that want to watch it, let them have it. I just don't understand why you can't. In 2022, with all the technology we have, with all the multiple reasons or multiple facets to be able to watch and partake in sports. Why the CFL, once again, is finding themselves in the Stone Age.
And considering that TSN has five channels that they could broadcast on.
That's the other thing, too, though.
I mean, it's, come on. I mean, I guess signals got crossed. We thought RDS was going to have it on. I would have watched it. I guess I misunderstood, or maybe they spoke too soon. I could swear the Tiger Cat said that they were going to broadcast this thing, the video. And when for them themselves, it was only audio. But it's not the same. You really can't. I mean, it's not the same as in person. So,
and let's face it, $2 a liter, I'm sure as hell not driving all the way to Hamilton just to watch preseason football. I mean, I'm just not. I'm sorry. No. That's even if gas was like 20 cents a liter, it's still a 6-hour drive to watch preseason football. But you know what? If you were to put a stream on TSN.ca, like as bonus coverage kind of thing, and even, you know, no commentary, no, you know, bells and whistles, just literally just some dude. They're like almost like a live stream, like a web, setting up a webcam just to follow the action. I would have been okay with that. And you know what? If people want to watch it, they'll watch it. And if they don't, they don't. So what? Then, like you said, you watch whatever the hell else you were going to be broadcasting on your five channels or what have you.
It didn't make any sense. Agreed. We'll get more of an idea this week when the Alouettes host the Red Blacks in their lone preseason game at home.
Which will be broadcast on TV for those that won't be able to make it to the stadium.
Yes,
but, you know.
Yes, it will. But hey, with what they're offering for season ticket holders, you know, I think you get for every season ticket you have, you get one free ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool.
It's very cool.
So, but we will obviously be talking more about the game here in a couple of minutes. From what we heard.
Oh, we heard all right.
Yeah. But obviously it would not have the game this week would not have occurred if it had not been for the CFL and the CFLPA and, you know, coming to a last hour agreement. Can't say last second.
Fell at the last second.
Yeah. And came to an agreement which was ratified by the PA this time, and it was ratified obviously by the owners. I'm curious to know what would have happened if it had not been ratified by the owners.
Chaos.
That would have been. I don't think it's ever happened, but yeah. But yeah, we were having football. Some things will not. A lot of stuff won't be taking place this year. It'll be taking place next year. Mm-hmm. But still, either way, some interesting. You know, interesting information that came across, and you know, at least we want to mention it a little bit on the show tonight because you know it's a big thing. I mean, just a 7-year contract. I think that hasn't changed, but I think instead of going over everything, I want to know from you specifically, from what we've seen in the information that has been put out on social media. And the documents put out on social, to you, what are the two things that stood out to you the most?
Well, and I think in light of everything that's gone on over the past couple of weeks, the one thing that is a bit of a relief or should be a relief to everybody is the fact that, yes, this is a 7-year agreement. So you don't have to worry about this nonsense for until, what, 2028 or 2029? And also, too, the agreement will expire 1 month before training camp. So no more of this, you know, debacle that took place over the past couple of weeks. Like, you know, they're going to get their act together before training camp. So I'm very relieved to see that because what we went through this year, I mean, like, this is like the highs and the lows and the just absolute nonsense. Like, I could have done without that. So that's one thing I'm definitely pleased and happy about. Aside from that, I mean, like a lot of the stuff, I think what's going to be also interesting too is guaranteed contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, like football is infamous at just about at every level of talking about that there's really no such thing as a guaranteed contract. The only thing that usually is guaranteed is your signing bonus. Like, you can sign a 3-year contract in theory and be cut after 1 year, and the team doesn't owe you squat. So, like, whatever they owe, like, you know, whatever you're guaranteed before was just your signing bonus, and that's it. Whereas now, it's going to be a little bit more. Like, there's, let's see, at least a 50% salary in the final year is guaranteed.
Yep.
No less than 2 years in duration.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, there's, like I said, the fact that the league and its players came together on this, and I think both sides realize the importance of this, because this also ties back into how teams, like how players jump from team to team, it seems, every year. And it's kind of hard to build some loyalty. Well, I mean, the only way to truly build loyalty is to sign a long-term contract, but guys don't necessarily want to sign a long-term contract, because more often than not, with the idea that nothing's guaranteed, it's almost not worth the paper it's written on. So this gives a little bit more leeway and a little bit more security, if you will, for these players. So I think that's a bit of a load off their mind. And I think it kind of helps the team as well, because now if you wanted to put some marketing behind a player, you know that you can, knowing full well that they're going to be sticking around, or at least are more likely to stick around a little bit more based on the fact that their contract is partially guaranteed.
I completely agree. And I think it helps, you know, being able to get names out in the, you know, and not everybody has a Geno Lewis as an example, you know, mm-hmm. where he's been here for his entire career. So it will allow more players, knowing that they will get a guaranteed portion of their contract. They sign a 2-year contract. They'll stay, and the team can use them to promote them as they may.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like in many leagues that I've followed too, it's like, well, you need to promote the players, not necessarily just the league or your team. You need to be able to promote properly.
Agreed. So. We've said before, like, people aren't buying season tickets to see the general manager sitting in his office making deals, or watching the president, you know, do whatever presidents do. Like, yeah. You're there to see a football game. You're there to see the players playing a football game. Like, yeah. That's what matters.
No, I agree.
I also do like the fact that minimum salaries for globals, nationals, and Americans across the board are, you know, everything's consistent now. There's no shenanigans. Let's put it that way.
No shenanigans. You're almost dead on from what I was going to say too, because those are really the two things that really stood out to me. Obviously, the big, I don't know what necessarily if we want to call it an elephant in the room, Cliff, is the new ratio, which will be taking effect in 2023, and the whole 49% play snaps thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think also that and revenue sharing, which is unheard of in the CFL.
Mm-hmm. And something we've talked about too is it behooves the league to include the players and make them partners in the league. Like, if you're going to help grow this game and grow this league, everybody's got to work together. And I think revenue sharing is the way to go when it comes to that. I mean, you got to make the players feel like they're appreciated. And if the league enjoys great success and is going to be built on the back of the players, then they should be able to partake in said success as well. So, I mean, this is a move that will benefit everybody involved in the Canadian Football League. And quite frankly, that's the way it should be.
I agree. Now we can go back to the question of who are the Alouettes going to make their naturalized Canadian? You know, we've already said who we think it should be. But we'll see what happens. And I'm guessing it won't be done until next year. That's what I'm guessing, because it's not taking effect until then.
Right. So, I mean,
but you know what? This is now an opportunity for teams to use this new, quote unquote, new position or new title for promotion. Why necessarily? If you have a now, mind you, a lot of the players, as we know, are under 1 year contracts. But but let's say, for instance, well, I'll take Geno as an example. Let's say, for instance, you know, because we know Geno's on a 1 year contract this year for 2022, and let's say that they extend him. He signs a new contract, 2 years, obviously, because then he'll get the guaranteed money.
Mm-hmm.
But then at that time, they also state that because of his tenure in the league and with the Alouettes, he will be earning the title of naturalized Canadian. Mm-hmm. That's what needs to happen. So, but I said it's whatever the team decides that they need to do.
Yeah.
But why not do it? Do it. Hey, one thing I didn't notice, though, by the way, it's something that was talked about earlier, and I didn't say anything about it, was the bank. I'll call it a bank. The bank that was mentioned earlier about for community purposes and stuff like that. It may still be in there. We'd have to see a full version of it. But I'm curious to know if that's still available. But other than that, what are your thoughts on this on this new naturalized Canadian position?
It's going to be interesting to see. Like I said, I think this year is going to be obviously the training ground for that to happen, to see how all nine teams are going to evaluate their players and make the designation, like who is going to be the naturalized player. Not to mention two additional ones coming into play as well. I mean, there's a lot to consider here.
Yeah, and potentially more depending on what the, you know, because the CFL has the option.
They do. It's really going to be interesting. So I'm, like I said, I still think there's a lot of things to take into consideration, especially too with trying to monitor the whole 49% of snaps thing.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Like I said, it's going to be interesting. Let's put it that way. I don't envy who's tasked with doing that because they got their work cut out for them. Let's put it that way.
finally, on this subject, I know you're not unionized. You know, people who've heard me talk know that I am. In your opinion, Cliff, who won or who quote unquote won?
I really don't think it's a matter of win or lose, because I think I have to believe, like any negotiation, both sides had to concede a fair bit and both had to, you know, they had to work with each other essentially. And we saw what happened when the first offers came out, and I don't know if they were just put out there just for the sake of starting a conversation or what, or, you know, just trying to incite a riot.
Propaganda.
Propaganda is possible too. I mean, here's the thing, like the airing of dirty laundry in public is always a risky venture for both the league and its players. And we got to see a lot of that, and it didn't serve anyone's purpose whatsoever. I felt, I think it definitely changed the opinion of a lot of people of how they view this league and how they view its players. My hope, though, is that people are going to look past all that or to have a short memory when it comes to this and just realize what's important is that football is going to be played. The players are going to play. The owners are going to house the players. They're going to provide them with a good working environment. And for the most part, everybody's going to be happy, obviously, because the players ratified this deal. The owners ratified this deal. Like, sounds like at least they've got something to work with. And now you've got 7 years to, you know, see what's working and what's, and I think that's the other thing too, is that there's a couple of things that may be adjusted as the horizon changes and as the league grows and hopefully becomes more successful, then everybody who's involved is going to get a bigger piece of the pie, which, you know, it's what you want. Essentially, you want to make sure that you're taken care of. You want to make sure everybody's best interests are looked after. And I think this is a good step. This is a step in the right direction. Is it perfect? Obviously not. But this is something you can work with. and grow with. And I think now the league and the players realize that they truly have to work together. So if a year or two down the line, they realize, okay, this particular instance is not going to do it for us, what can we do? I want to believe now that both sides are going to be more willing to work together to make this work, as opposed to just saying, well, this is what you agreed to, you know, go F yourself if you don't like it. I don't think we're going to be seeing that. I really want to believe now that both sides are going to start working together properly to come up with a solution that can work for everybody. Yeah. At least that's what I'm hoping for anyways. I mean, that's really how it has to be when you think about it.
I know who won. I can actually say who won. In my opinion.
If you say the fans, I'm going to laugh.
It's exactly what I was going to say.
And here I am laughing.
Yeah, but it's true. It's true. We have potentially up to 7 years, of CFL labor.
Harmony?
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially. Like I said, it's not perfect, but it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to work. And this, I think, has potential to work. And as I said, if for whatever reason it doesn't work, then I think the league and the players will work together to make it work.
I think so. Yeah. Again, and we'll see. Yeah. People may remember too. Yes, there was an out after 5 years. You know, with the ending of the CFL contract, with a TSN contract, leading into whomever gets the new contract in 5 years, which, you know, I'm sure TSN will be in the mix, but we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, before we talk about the game, this past week and leading into the preseason home game for the Alouettes, just want to remind everybody that we are on social media. You can find us multiple places. Best place to head is to head over to either our Twitter account, which is at AlouettesFLDeck, or over at our main site, which is at AlouettesFlightDeck.ca. You can find all of our archives there. You can go look for us over on Instagram. That is AlouettesFlightDeck. You can look for us on Facebook. Just look up AlouettesFlightDeckPod. What have I forgotten here, Cliff? Very importantly still, YouTube, because we've been testing some stuff behind the scenes, and again, we still are waiting to get, we're still 19 people short of getting to 100 people, in which we are going to give away that brand new satin jacket with the Delta logo on it. So again, head over there if you haven't already. All it takes is very simple, to just a click. Just do a search for Alouettes Flight Deck. You'll find us. Subscribe. You will be eligible to win this jacket, courtesy of us and courtesy of us.
Courtesy of us. We got to take the credit for this, because this was our bright idea. And, you know, folks, we said it before and we said it again. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers, tell everybody. Check out the Alouettes Flight Deck on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button, please. Get us past the century mark. Mm-hmm. And not only will we be giving away that sweet retro jacket, we're planning to do so much with that channel. We want to really expand our wings, so to speak, and make exciting stuff happen. Yes, maybe you may not be thinking about listening to a podcast on YouTube. It might be the most interesting thing to do, but this we're just breaking the ground here. Like this is we're starting to build a foundation for something here, and we want to grow, we want to expand, and we want you to be a part of it. So please, like, I don't know what I gotta do here. Like, don't make me beg.
Yeah,
just go there, smash that subscribe button, show us the love, and I promise it'll come back to you tenfold.
Yeah, and also don't forget, you can head over to our shop too, get yourself some merch before the beginning of the Alouettes regular season. You can head over to, I should know it by now,
teespring.com/stores/Al's Flight Deck.
There you go, baby. And also want to congratulate Mitchell Vinberg, who won the first drawing of the pair of Sport Buff Flight Crew seats to the preseason game this Friday. Stay tuned to all of our socials for the next giveaway, which will be for the home opener on June 23rd. That draw will be taking place the week prior. The week prior. Again, it's check out our socials. It's very easy to do. And that, too, ladies and gentlemen, is free. And again, thanks to thanks to the guys over at Sport Buff for joining us in this endeavor and getting you into the stadium to see Alouettes action throughout 2022. Preseason, where do you want to start about this game, buddy?
Well, like I said, we were tested, at least mentally. Like, it's funny, isn't it one of those things where if you lose one of your senses, your other ones become heightened? So because of the fact we couldn't actually watch the game, mm-hmm. our senses get heightened because we were able to listen to it. At least that's what I'm going to go with.
It sounds good to me.
I mean,
even though I think I missed an Alouettes field goal. I missed an Alouettes field goal in the first half.
Oh, boy.
It's like, wait a minute. What do you mean it's 15? Where'd the other 12 go?
Oh, but you know what? I will say the Alouettes struck early. Sounded like that first drive. I mean, everything was just clicking. I mean, Trevor Harris, gotta give him props. I mean, he had a great first series. Was able to find Reggie White Jr. for the first touchdown of the game. Played pretty solid, and then turned things over to the other quarterbacks. Like I said, I was very. It sounded like the tempo was good. It sounded like, the offense was clicking. The defense was holding its own. It was pretty impressive a pretty impressive start as far as this preseason game goes.
I think so too. And we got to remind everybody too that the Alouettes did lose on a last second field goal. From what we hear, for people who were in attendance, somewhat of a questionable DPI call. They lost 25-23 to the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They had come all the way back, and it looked like they were dead in the second half. Up until that last drive, which we're going to be talking about here, because this is something that you and I have been talking about since seeing him at camp. The Alouettes had gone ahead and a 2-point convert on top of that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the only thing to me before we talk about Alexander a little bit more is the lack of preseason running game. That's one thing, besides all the great plays from everybody else, that's the one thing that really caught my eye. Yes, we know that, William Stanbeck did not play. But what were your thoughts on that, Bud? Because, I mean, the Alouettes had a grand total of 12 yards.
Yeah, no, I was surprised, especially with...
16. Sorry, 16.
Yeah. Because, again, we did see a lot of other running backs stepping up while William Stanbeck wasn't participating in training camp. Guys like Taku Lee, DeLance Turner, I was expecting big games from those guys. And Taku Lee did okay, but, DeLance Turner just did not. I mean, I was definitely surprised. I would have expected a little bit more of a varied attack, but... I think the fact that the Alouettes were only planning to run a limited number of plays, that may have been a factor in the decision. Maybe there just wasn't that many running plays to be had. Could be, but yeah, I was expecting a little bit more. And aside from Lee, who I think was solid, I mean, yeah, the rest was just kind of lackluster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And it's you're talking about the Lance. I mean, we know... based on the transactions, what happened a couple of days later, but it really was at the beginning. It was an all passing thing. I mean, the Owls had 363 passing yards. I mean, the Owls dominant. If this were a regular season game that meant something, we had this quite a few times last year. The Owls dominated this game from start to finish. It just they didn't win.
And Hamilton played a lot more of their starters this game than what Montreal did.
So true. So true. But again, there are some positives. There are some negatives too, obviously. We're going to get the negatives out of the way besides the running game. Penalties. Again.
Wouldn't
you know, you know, if Kahari is asked about penalties in the post game for a preseason game, then yeah, you kind of know that there was a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, lots of laundry on the field. I mean, it wouldn't be an Alouettes game without it, would it?
No. No. So, I mean, let's see what happens this week versus Ottawa. I mean, can we call it concerning? I guess so.
if you really want to. I mean, like I said, a lot of people will say it is preseason. Who cares? But you kind of want to know what you have to work with, and that would include guys staying disciplined as well. I mean, like, you want to call it opening night jitters, fine, but at the same time, like, this is not going to fly come August, September, October. You know, like, yeah. If you want to get out of the way now, then fine. But at the same time, especially if you're one of those bubble guys, like, if you look at the stat sheet and you got like two or three penalties, especially costly ones, that's not ideal. I mean,
I think the plus, though, there's one plus that I saw out of this, Cliff, because I know something that really was concerning last year was the special teams penalties. Alouette special teams only had three penalties. And the plus thing is that only two of them were for no yards. I think it's the only real plus that you can take away from that.
You take the good with the bad, I suppose.
Yes.
And of course, I mean, it was a penalty that essentially iced the game for the Alouettes was, Robert Hayes Jr., who said he was one who's, you know, got his hand caught in the cookie jar, so to speak, which pretty much put the Hamilton Tiger Cats in chip shot range for their field goal kicker to basically seal the deal and give the dub to the Tiger Cats.
Yeah, I think it also didn't help that the kickoff was kind of short.
Yeah, it's a little part of me was like, okay, with so little time left, why wouldn't you squib kick it? But, I mean, this is the CFL, too. I mean, like, you can easily take it back to the house.
Again, it's preseason, too.
Yeah, like, at that point, you can just be like, F it. Let's try it. What's the worst that could happen? But, yeah.
Yeah. I know you wanted to talk about this, and we're going to go into talk about this. You want the pluses. And I know you wanted to bring up something specifically about when it came to the pluses. We mentioned them earlier, but you know, the Owls would not have been in this position to potentially win the game if it hadn't been for Davis Alexander and his what a drive!
My God, I mean this is impressive. I mean, like we talked about him last week, you know, during our training camp sessions, we talked about his mechanics. We talked about how he looked, and he looked like a quarterback. He was performing in his drills. I mean, he was solid. Like, his footwork was good. His throwing was on point. You know, like, to me, it was like, okay, looks good here. Everybody looks good in a drill. But does that translate to in-game action? And for him to basically put the team on his back and lead them down for a potentially game-winning drive was excellent. Like, and he looked or sounded like he looked cool, calm, and collected. That was one thing that Sean Campbell and Marco Briette had noted too, that, you know, he's just coolly marching everybody down. They're just, you know, 10 yards at a time. That's how you got to play this game, folks, is 10 yards at a time. No panic, no, like, he didn't seem worried at all. And for him to, you know, cap off this potentially game-winning drive by plunging into the end zone with a touchdown, outstanding. And then if that wasn't enough, like, you know, you're down by two at that point. Or no, you're down by one, I should say, at that point. Do you go for the tie or do you go for the win? Because let's face it, there's no overtime in a preseason game. Are you content to just walk away with the tie and be done with it? Or do you say the hell with it and just go for the win? And that's what Kahari and everybody did. It was like, we're going for two. I'm like, wow, okay, here we go. Let's, you know,
You have to practice in game sometime, right?
You do. And wouldn't you know it, Davis Alexander finds Krishan Hogan, who himself was having a very spectacular game.
No kidding.
My goodness, like this guy, like I told you folks, keep an eye on this guy. He's going to make some noise. And sure enough, he caught the 2-point convert. Montreal was able to go up by one with 15 seconds left on the clock. And yeah, 15 seconds is more than enough time, like especially in the CFL. I mean, NFL too, in the playoffs, you can easily score a touchdown in 13 seconds. Patrick Mahomes proved that. Josh Allen proved that you can score with very little time. But lo and behold, it was Hamilton's day, and the DPI the DPI penalty did not do any favors. I mean, I wasn't expecting Hamilton to attempt a 50-plus yard field goal for the win, but 35-yarder, no problem.
Yeah, exactly.
I think his name is Taj Leader. I think his name was the kicker for Hamilton. Apparently, it was just a chip shot for him, and there you go, walk off winner. Like, hey, props to them. They did it. They did the thing. They did what they had to do. But let me tell you, folks, that was some exciting ass football to hear on the radio. I mean, and if that doesn't piss you off even more that this game was not on TV compared to the snooze fest that Winnipeg and Saskatchewan played the other day, my word. How disappointing. I know it's preseason. Nobody cares. Blah, blah, blah. Shut up. I don't care what you think. This is what I think. Every preseason game should be televised, if only to let you evaluate players. Simple. Full stop. That's how it should be. Like, exactly. I would have loved to have seen this drive on my TV screen or on a phone or however people watch football, they literally watch football games. I would have loved to have seen this Davis Alexander drive in its completion. And we can't even watch it after the fact because it's not I don't think the Alouettes are going to release any of their training camp film footage.
I would love to see the game tape. I would love to see the game tape on that one.
Big time. Like, and you can't even see highlights of this. Like, I mean, yeah. So, yeah. So thanks for nothing, TSN, RDS, for not showing this game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, and that, you know, then the league, you know, announces today that the who they signed, who they partnered with for international streaming. You know, I mean, it's like, really? Yeah. Yes, we understand it's preseason, but come on, man.
And yeah, well, listen, I've said my piece. I was vocal about it on social media,
right?
But this past Sunday,
my thought too is this: if the CEBL, for those of you who don't know, that's the Canada's Pro Basketball League, if the CEBL can partner with CBC Plus and CBC Gem to show all games and most of it's streaming. Hello.
Yeah.
I mean, again, 5 TSN channels, 2 RDS, 3 RDS channels.
And again, if for whatever reason you don't want to show it on an actual TV channel, fine. Just put the stream on TSN.ca or RDS.ca.
Exactly.
Like, why is it really going to cost you that much bandwidth? Give me a break. Yeah. Like,
you got to test it out sometime, right?
Sure. Why not?
So,
they show all this other quote unquote bonus content. I mean, I'd much rather watch that than frickin' darts or, spelling bees or whatever nonsense TSN calls a sport.
I want to see Mini Putt in French. Can they bring that back, please? And I'm not being an asshole saying this. I loved watching Mini Putt in French.
I'm not going to lie. It was pretty epic. I mean, that was like Sunday nights, like late. So it was on late Sunday night too. So I mean, if it was a school night, it sucked. But I mean, if you didn't have school the next day, hell yeah, you were staying up and watching that shit.
Yeah. You gotta look it up yourself. If you haven't seen, they talk about, what is it? Holy Moly. Yeah. Holy Moly. Now I think that's the reality thing that they have going on ABC now that you can see on TV. If you haven't, look up Mini Putt. What was it called? Was it called Mini Putt or Mini Defeat? I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Well, if you go RDS mini putt, you'll
find you got to look it up. If you haven't, if you don't know what we're talking about, go and look it up.
You know, after you're done subscribing to the Alouettes Flight Deck on YouTube, make sure you check out highlights.
There you go. I like that.
Just search RDS mini putt, folks. And even if you don't speak or understand French, you don't have to.
You don't have to, dude.
It's all about, like, this is like a moment in time kind
of
stuff.
Exactly. So after the game, the Alouettes made a couple of, you know, did make a couple of changes and did release some players. You know, one we did talk about before that was released. Actually, the team didn't make it known. It was really CFL.ca that made it known. And we put, I think you put it out there on social. Mm-hmm. It was the first, I think these were on, because they made one the first day. Obviously, DeLance Turner was released and Ben Holmes was released.
Yeah. Like, these guys did participate in the game this past Saturday and honestly were underwhelming. And I'm not saying that's the reason why they were released, but I mean.
Well, look what Alexander did.
I mean, he definitely made a case to be heard. I mean, let's face it. We've said it before and we'll say it again. This is Vernon Adams' football team, 100%. Trevor Harris, I mean, he's doing everything he can to be a part of this team. Dominique Davis does have CFL experience, even if he didn't exactly light it up himself during the preseason game. But Davis Alexander, he made a case.
Yeah,
at the very, very least, he made a case to be on the practice roster.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know where that will lead you to, folks. I mean, like, it's just a matter of just get your foot in the door. And in the case for a football player in the Canadian Football League, sometimes getting your foot in the door means get on the practice roster and just be ready, stay ready. That's all it takes before you actually get some game action. And from what we heard about this past Saturday with Alexander, is kid's a baller. He showed up and he showed out. He was very impressive.
Yep. And you made a comment too, which I really agreed with. You said with this game, he at least made a practice. He should get a practice roster spot, but it could be more. We'll see what happens from Friday.
That's it. I mean, a lot could happen. And as I've said it before, and I'll say it again, everybody looks good in drills. It's the game action that counts. And when his number was called, unfortunately, Ben Holmes wasn't ready, or at least didn't sound like he was ready.
Yeah.
Same thing with DeLance Turner. Yeah, had some really outstanding runs when you're going up against your teammates. But when push comes to shove in an actual game situation, that's the difference. And, you know, that's what football is. I mean, you know, it's a business, and winning is what matters. And playing well is what's going to – it makes all the difference. Like, you only get a limited number of reps in a preseason game. You got to make each and every one of them count. And if you don't, you'll find yourself on the outside looking in.
Any surprises from the people that the Alouettes did release on Saturday?
Not really. I mean, a lot of them were camp bodies. Some were actual names that we've heard of. Most notably would have been Ethan McConzo, who was a draft pick in 2021. He was in camp last year. I don't remember if he actually made it onto the practice roster or he was released to go back to school and then re-added by the end of the year. But once again, just because you're a Quebec-born player or a former Montreal Caravan, yeah, that might get you in, but doesn't keep you in. At the end of the day, you still got to perform. And I guess just based on the linebackers that we have in camp, unfortunately, was more likely a numbers game for McConzo. Rashad Robinson is another one of these players that practice roster, limited game action, practice roster again, released, re-signed, practice roster, rinse, repeat. That's just the way it goes sometimes. And, yeah. Aside from that, most of these names are just camp bodies. So, I mean, it's, you know, you bring them in if they, you know, blow the doors off of the competition, more power to them. But sometimes it's just a matter of Let's see what you got. And sometimes it's just not enough.
Yeah. But obviously, with the game coming up on Friday, hopefully we'll get to see a little bit, at least some of the more of our starters that we expect to make the team. And it's going to be interesting, dude. I mean, I don't know what to. I want to see Vernon. I want to see how he plays. Obviously, remind people that this is his first game back since his injury last year. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how he plays.
Yeah,
and how much and what type of reps he gets, what type of plays they choose, and how he looks throwing the ball and that type of thing. This will be the first time he gets hit by an opponent that's not his teammate.
Yeah. And I think there's a little part of him that's looking forward to it. I think he wants that, that smack of the pads to see, okay, it's done, it's over with, I didn't die kind of thing. It was, it's something that when you're coming back from an injury, this is something that a lot of players have talked about, is that feeling of actual contact with your opponent. And just knowing that you can take that hit and get back up and continue on. Mm-hmm. It's a mental block that you have to get over. And I think for Vernon, the sooner he can do that, the better. Because we fully expect him to be the starting quarterback in Calgary next Thursday. I guess 2 Thursdays from now, because of when we're recording. But we expect him to be the QB1 first game as a starter. That being said, I'm okay with him also getting limited reps on this coming Friday, just for the sole reason of, we want him back out there. We want to see him in action, but let's not put him in any potentially dangerous situation, because there are a couple of bubble guys out there on both teams, and one of them is going to want to make an impact. And if somehow knocking out the superstar quarterback is a way of, trying to quote unquote impress your coaches or your scouts or anything like that, someone's going to try and take a shot. And I guess the key is going to be, don't put your quarterback in a situation where that is a possibility. So
yeah, exactly.
I could definitely see Vernon playing one series for sure, possibly two, depending on how the quarter goes. But I really wouldn't want him doing more than that, just because we know what he can do. We know what Vernon Adams is all about, and we need him as healthy and ready to go as possible. Yep. But he's a gamer. He wants to get out there and he wants to play. So let him play. Definitely let him play. Let him sling the ball like we know he can do. Maybe even a cute little run. Maybe not, though, just because, again, I just don't if someone's going to be headhunting. So,
Yeah.
I just want to see him out there doing what he loves and just, be safe. Ball out, but be safe.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And
also too, like, as far as the other quarterbacks go, let them carry the load. Let's see what they can do. As far as I'm concerned, I want to see more from Dominique Davis. I want to see more from Davis Alexander. I fully expect those guys to get the lion's share of the remaining reps. To me, like, these guys are definitely in a competition, because as only two people can be actually designated as a quarterback. So one of these guys is definitely going on the practice roster for sure.
Yeah.
I could both be kept, possibly. I mean, but again, both would have to be absolutely outstanding, like really, really balling out. It could really come down to keeping one of these guys and letting one of these guys go. And I think however they play this coming Friday is going to be the determining factor more than anything else.
I agree. And it's really tough still have so many players on the roster. There's so many players to watch out for on both sides of the ball. We'll just want them to, obviously, for a little bit more improvement. It's very, we saw what happened today with the Alouettes canceling practice because of a potential flu bug going around the team, but the team has already stated that they are going to go through the walkthrough tomorrow on Thursday, and then there'll be game on Friday. I think it was mentioned by Herb Jarkowski that the team is adamant that it is not COVID. So it's concerning to hear just that, but then again, hey, better now than later. So again, watch for the depth charts to come out tomorrow. We will post them on social. I'm curious to see who's landing where. It should be very interesting, and it makes me wonder, depending on how people did last week, if they move up on the depth chart or if they move down on the depth chart. Should be interesting to see. So stay tuned to our socials for when it is released.
Yeah, there's definitely some players that had a very, very solid game against Hamilton, and they're going to want to be building off of that. And then there's some guys that didn't get a chance to play versus Hamilton. They'll want to show out too. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see who all is going to step up and who is going to make the most of their limited reps. And that's what it comes down to, folks, is you really got to make the most of it, because a lot of these guys, it literally could come down to that one play that they made or didn't make that makes a difference as to whether they're either on the active roster, on the practice roster, or on the unemployment line.
Yep.
That, I mean, it literally can come down to just something simple like that. Like just one false move, one slight misjudgment. And yeah, it makes all the difference in the world. Conversely, if you're one of those guys in the bubble and you make that one outstanding play, all of a sudden they're looking at you in a whole different light. And like, okay, we got to find a way to keep this guy. I don't know how we're going to do it. We cannot let this guy go, because if we do, someone else is going to take him, and that's going to burn us. And this is part of the fun of preseason. I mean, like this coming weekend, like the cuts will be announced. I believe by Sunday, I believe it's when they have to have their final roster set. Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot of people sweating over the weekend, and really, truly. Like how the Alouettes hopefuls play on Friday or don't play will make a really big difference. And to me, like that's what I'm excited about more than anything else, is just seeing who is going to step up and make their case heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Reminder, I think everybody knows that as I mentioned before, the Alouettes were giving away a ticket for the game. I imagine if you haven't contacted the team already, you need to do so you can get your tickets for this game. The Alouettes also announced an initiative for anybody who is within the tiers of, I'm trying to see here, the Legend and Hall of Fame recognition levels. You will be able to have post-game field access passes for one game this year, including the reunion game for the 2002 Grey Cup champ Alouettes. You have to. It's 300 people per game, except for that game itself. For that game with the reunion, that's 500 fans. You need to make sure that you do it 48 hours in advance, but you need to go into the ticket portal, and it is under the offers tab, and you have to choose what game you want to have passes for, and it is available for you. The amount of passes that you have is the amount of seats that you have. And it's free. So it's a pretty, it's, I think this is one of the initiatives that Al's president, Mario Ciccini, was talking about earlier this year. And I think on our pod, I think he mentioned something like that similar to on our podcast for the season 6 finale. And I think it was mentioned at Randy's road trip, if I remember correctly. So cool initiative. I'm curious to see what else the Alouettes do for the rest of the season. Also, the CFL announced today that they have partnered with Vizek for their international streaming platform, I guess we could say, where beyond the territories that are outside of TSN, RDS, ESPN, and BT Sports, that's coverage in Canada, the UK, Ireland, US, and its territories, you will have... be able to purchase an all access pass, If you want to have everything all the way through the Grey Cup, it will be $100 for the season, which includes 85 regular season games, all postseason games, and the 109th Grey Cup Championship. I think this is something, Cliff, that they have done for the past, wow, I'm trying to remember how many years that they've had this available. I think 1 year they had it on YouTube, and I think they've gone from there to the different platforms. I can't remember if it was Vizyak last year or not. But either way, more CFL for the fans across the world. Why not, right?
Well, listen, with this global initiative that they have in trying to grow the game, trying to grow the popularity of this game, you got to make it accessible to everybody. And let's face it, people are streaming more and more nowadays, whether it's Netflix, Crave, any other streaming services that are out there. I mean, this is how people are watching and consuming your product nowadays. So it really does behoove the CFL to make it as accessible as possible, especially for people that are outside of these typical viewing regions that you had just rattled off. I mean, one person I'm thinking, I can't help but think about, our one listener in Russia.
I was wondering.
No. I don't know what I don't know what his situation is or her situation is, but I hope that they're able to, you know, take advantage of this package. Because now, in addition to listening to the Alouettes flight deck, which we appreciate you doing, now you can make sure you watch all the Alouettes games, so you know exactly what we're talking about each and every week. So, you know, I can only see the benefit in things like this.
Why not? Why not? That's hilarious. It's hilarious. Oh man. Yeah, we'll be there at the game. Cliff and myself will be there. Reach out to us on social media if you happen to be near us, and we'll be happy to say hey to everybody who happens to come by. But it's again, hey, 25. I forgot about this. It's 25 years of Friday Night Football, which is bonkers.
Yeah,
bonkers.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, you want to feel old. That's how it is. Like, yeah, 25 years of watching CFL on Friday, like making, it's basically establishing themselves as, like, you know, the entertainment for Friday night in the summertime is watching Canadian football. And yeah, it's pretty cool when you think about it. And yes, folks, there will be a lot of Friday night football games featuring the Montreal Alouettes. So make sure you're tuned in, make sure you're, you know, make sure if you're watching on cable, make sure your bill's paid up. If you're streaming the games, however you do it, you know, make sure you're tuning in to watch the Alouettes play.
Yeah, and they play.
Or better yet,
they played the theme last week too. The old theme, Friday Night Football Night.
Oh man, gosh, that takes me way back.
But we're looking forward to it. Weather, we're not really sure what the weather is supposed to be.
Oh, who the hell knows? I mean, you know what? At least we're covered, figuratively and literally. I mean, like, our seats are, you know, there's an overhang, so, the, you know, we'll be protected from the elements, folks. But you know what? But no matter what the weather is going to be like, if you're in Montreal, make it out to the game. I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of exciting players that are desperately trying to get on and stay on this team. And this is their chance to shine. So I know a lot of people say preseason game doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything. It does. It really does. I mean, for these guys that are desperate to become the next big superstars in the Canadian Football League, this is their chance to make that case. This is their chance to prove that they belong. So I'm really excited to see how some of these guys are going to show up and show out. If we see a couple of superstars, get a couple of reps in, that's awesome too. But you know, I'm really excited to see what decisions these coaching staffs are going to have to make, whether for Ottawa or for Montreal. Everybody's going to want to put on for this game because, you know, as I said, this by the end of this weekend, we're going to see the final rosters for all the 9 CFL teams. And there's going to be a lot of football players that are just not going to make the cut. And don't be surprised if there are 1 or 2 players that you fully expected to be a part of the team, and now all of a sudden they're not. So yeah,
exactly. By the way, I'm reading up on this 20th anniversary of the Grey Cup. That's the July 14th game versus the Elks.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the celebration with the alumni, a photo booth with trophy exhibition. Hey, I'm all for free photos.
Free photos are cool. Sure.
I'm all for free photos. But head over to the Alowitz webpage, and it gives you an idea of what they're hoping to have for every single game. So they got quite a bit of stuff going. So should be fun. Ooh. another. Okay, I'm going to do this, Cliff, because I happen to see this now, and I know we're finishing up the show, but why? Why is there another whiteout game versus the Winnipeg Blue Bombers? Isn't it always versus the Blue Bombers?
Well,
I got to go back and check this out, because I swear these white game. Oh, come on, man. Whatever. God. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on August 4th.
Oh, I know what's going to happen. The Alouettes are going to lose.
Oh, shut up. Don't jinx this.
What jinx? That's the jinx.
Yeah. I have to go back and check the history. I'm sure I have it listed in my history, so we'll see.
Well, listen, every whiteout game that I remember, the Alouettes lose.
At least recently, yes, they've lost. I agree with you. I agree with you.
And I know it's not that same team anymore, but numbers don't lie.
Winds have changed. Winds have changed. Anyways, Cliff, I'm going to be glad to be back in the stadium with you, buddy. I hope to see everybody else there at Percival Molson this week. If not, stay tuned for our regular season preview. It's coming up next week. Oh, my God, next week. Next week. So, Cliff, I will see you 7 o'clock Friday at Percival Molson Stadium. And if we happen to see you guys there, we hope we'll be glad to see you. So for everybody here at the Alouettes Flight Deck, for Cliffy D, I'm Tim Capper. Run Final Approach. Take off to the great white north. Take off. It's a beauty way to go. Take off to the great white north.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.